Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. When the world feels a bit upside down, everything will always feel so much better when you've created a place of peace, a sanctuary to be in, a somewhere with a real sense of security. And at the moment, the energies and frequencies that are moving around on the infinite energy grids are really shaking us up. It feels a bit relentless, and what we all need is that safe space, that sanctuary. We need whatever it is that represents true peace and security to us in our lives, so that we can sit in that space for just a moment, or as many moments as we feel will benefit us, and really simply be. And then with all that stability that we accumulate, we can be more adaptive and flexible and resilient to whatever it is that we need to spend time thinking about. So many of us, can I even say that the majority of us, are in the midst of experiencing personal and collective traumas, in my opinion, at the moment. And whichever way I look at it, that's how it seems to me. And that's what's behind my thoughts for the show this week. My name's Amanda Nelson. I'm a master energist, and this is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. And I'd like to invite you to join me in finding a way to cultivate the slow, manifest peacefulness, grow quietness, craft security and stability. All of these are so incredibly healing, and they're the first step in healing the personal and collective trauma, true or imagined, that you're going to be connecting with at the moment. It's okay to create a place of security and steadfastness. It's okay to want simplicity. It's okay to be resolute in the gentlest of terms about growing a life with simplicity and peace and predictability and security at its foundation. That's what I'm going to do for the next little while. For the next, 3 to 6 months, I'm just going to dedicate myself to simplicity and resilience. And whenever I encounter anything at the moment, I'm thinking simplicity, resilience. How do I simplify things? How do I ensure that I'm resilient? And if my future self were to come back and talk to me in 3 to 6 months' time, Would they be saying to me, thank you for making those changes, thank you for simplifying things in that way. If you hadn't simplified, I wouldn't have the resilience that I have now, that adaptability that I might need. So look to your own needs. Then I'd suggest you look to the people you truly care about, look to their needs, and then let the overspill pour out further. Today is very much about looking at you. But it begins with your needs, you see. The needs of those you care the most about are important too, but you're not going to be able to do your bit if that's what you're thinking about doing. You're not going to be able to do your bit. You're not going to be able to offer stability and resilience to anybody else if you haven't looked after yourself first. It's not about being selfish. It's about building a stability and resilience, an unshakable quality in your own energy field. And that means that everybody else around you is also going to be able to replicate and template to that energy field that you have. So I'm encouraging people to cultivate simplicity, grow resilience, because that's what raises whole people in the world. And we need whole people to show up right now. So the opposite state of wholeness, then, what is that? Well, it's a state of fragmentation because of the personal and collective traumas that are around at the moment. We are all being jostled energetically by a kind of state of fragmentation. And fragmentation creates fear. And fear shows up for each one of us as a mixture of fight or flight or panic or freeze. It can be anything. And at the moment, I'm noticing it's mostly showing up as freeze. It's a freeze response. I just thought I'd mention that. So the opposite of that wholeness, I think, can be described as a kind of separation, a kind of disconnection, a fracturing. And it seems to me that there's quite a lot of brokenness around us at the moment in this space in time. The break, the fracture, it creates destabilization in the energy field. And you can't function as a whole being when you have that kind of destabilization. So you can suffer collapses or tears in your auric field, any of the 12 layers, sometimes it's more than one layer. The central axis of your electromagnetic field gets shunted out of place, and so your perception of safety in the world is lost. Your shields energetically, they're all up all the time, they're all triggered. Well, that's not healthy either. And you end up feeling really energetically frayed. All your energy tubes, those little lines where all of the movement and the motion takes place in your energy field, the tubes get blocked, as I say. Your filters won't clear. Your chakras lose their radiance. How could you feel anything else but awful when that happens? Those people that can find a space of simplicity are also naturally going to uncover a byproduct of that simplicity. That's always resilience. Those people will remain whole. So I've decided I want to be whole, and this is what I wish to cultivate in this phase of my life. And I'd like to share what I'm learning about that with my communities. So I'm setting about simplification. I'm going to invest time in it, and I'm going to share what I learn about it. This isn't going to look clean and neat and tidy for all of those that try this, though. Simplification can sometimes create disorganization before the calm arrives. I know, I've already tried it. And the goal of resilience here takes a few chaotic tunnels to reach, in my experience as well. However, if we accept that this is what we need to go through, messy or otherwise, as part of the evolutionary process of this, you know, aiming for wholeness, well, yeah, let's accept it's just a messy process. And hopefully with diligence and application and honesty with ourselves and heaps of self-love, we're able to then transform whatever the mess is into something that's more tangible and simpler, and that will lead to more peace and ultimately more resilience overall. So I've been toying with these thoughts ever since I got back from my most recent trip to Vietnam. And amongst other locations across that incredibly beautiful country, I visited the capital city of Hanoi. And to me, on first sight, that was quite a hellish place, actually. It wasn't the first time I'd been there. In fact, this trip, I'd been there many times. But the first time ever that I went to Hanoi, I actually felt assaulted by being there. And if you've been there, you'll know what I mean. On paper, then, there is nothing to like about Hanoi. It's hot, it's noisy, it's smelly, it's erratic, it's chaotic, it's mad, crazy, bonkers. And despite the apparent disorder, though, the Vietnamese people exude a genuine, radiant smile whenever you have eye contact with them. These people, I came to the conclusion about this on the flight home, these people were whole. The biggest difference between some of the people I know in the UK and the Vietnamese people that I happen to have fleeting eye contact with was how the Vietnamese people smiled at you. You have to experience it to get it. And when you get it, you fall in love with the Vietnamese. All criticism you might have of the chaos in the bustling city of Hanoi, for example, it just simply evaporates. The Vietnamese smile, and it's a genuine, eye contact connected, joyful smile, and it's birthed from their hearts, and they are smiles that beam and radiate. When was the last time a stranger in your country met your eyes and gave you a heartfelt, genuine, beaming, radiant smile? Every Vietnamese person, except for one, but that was my fault, every Vietnamese person throughout the breadth of Vietnam, and we covered some miles, I have to say, had that same radiant smile for me. I could have bathed in it. And I got to thinking, while I was on the flight home, with all that we seem to have in the UK, why don't I see smiles like that? I wanted to smile like that, spontaneously, always. And I feel that part of the root of the reason that we may not smile like that is because we've overcomplicated things to the point where we no longer feel happy, no longer feel secure, no longer feel that connected wholeness in our being that enables us to smile like that. Without that personal and communal wholeness, things feel fractured and they seem to increasingly lack resilience. Not so with the Vietnamese I met. They embraced connectedness. They embraced the evolution of everyone pulling together. I need a bit more of that wholeness. I think it's probably part of the reason that I love going to Vietnam so much. I love Hanoi because it hides nothing from me and it feels whole. And I love Hanoi because that wholeness reminded me of something that I felt that I had, but that in all probability, everyone needs a bit more of at this time. So this week on my show, I'm encouraging you to consider reclaiming your wholeness. I'll give you some pointers, of course, and I'd like you to begin by looking to create wholeness for yourself before you create it for anyone else. Lead by example, of course, teach where it's welcomed, share if it is of value. Travel the journey and experience the process with me. We are focusing on cultivating simplicity and resilience energies on the show today. I'd like to see you with a beaming smile too.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good, This week on my show, I'm encouraging you to join me in reclaiming your wholeness. It might take a bit of hunting around at first, but I'm hoping that I can give you a few pointers. I'm new to this myself, so I'm just sharing with you what I've learned so far. So we're going to focus on cultivating simplicity and resilience energy in your life in general on the show today, because I feel that simplicity and resilience really enable you to reclaim wholeness in your entirety, including all aspects of your energy field. Now, can I speak my mind? For so many years, my world seemed to be focused on the pursuit of complexity rather than simplicity. Or at least, that's what I've come to know. I mean, we're really encouraged to be in a state of becoming rather than being, in a state of doing instead of consolidation. And I thought I was on top of this, but going to Vietnam revealed a whole part of this process that I had yet to properly explore. And so I've started exploring it, and it's so exciting. I hope you can hear it in my voice today. Now, I've always known that there is a transformative power in a simpler lifestyle, deeper connections with ourselves and with other people, you know, connections with nature and the planet. I'm suggesting today that you dedicate a proportion of your everyday to consciously choosing simplicity as well. And at its core, simplicity is all about making a conscious choice to uncomplicate various facets of your life. It does involve a mindful approach to life and to living life, and a commitment to focusing on what truly matters before making any choices. And it's about being intentional about simplifying our routines, our relationships, our possessions, our choices, our commitments, our finances, our expectations of ourselves, and also our expectations of anything else. And I'm going to call this in its entirety life clutter. Simplicity is about clearing life clutter in whatever form it takes in your life and enabling you to then reach a kind of state of sanctuary, because you've released it. And when you reach there, you're going to find peace, and you will most certainly find resilience waiting for you. I came back from Vietnam aiming to simplify my life, but no, I didn't start immediately turfing out the contents of cupboards or cutting up my credit cards or deciding to be some kind of hermit and not connecting with people. I came back from Vietnam and chose to do one thing. I chose to turn off media in the evening. I hadn't watched it for a month, so why start now? And actually, that's not quite what happened. I did get back into the UK and I turned on the TV because I hadn't seen the news in a month. I watched the news, and about 3 minutes after starting to watch it, I decided that it was so depressing and so upsetting that I just couldn't handle it. And instead, I sat in the quiet of my sitting room and I just began to crochet instead. And at first, my mind couldn't settle. It was scrabbling around for something more complicated to occupy itself with. And then gradually, my mind allowed itself to embrace some much simpler moments, some gaps. And sometimes those moments also turned into moments of reflection or nostalgia or processing thoughts and observations that I've had, memories. Even boredom at one stage set in, and I'm not great with boredom. But boredom serves a really important space. My son was talking to me about this. He said that boredom creates a space for your mind to fill with much higher thoughts. Thoughts about things that your mind's chatter doesn't typically make room for. I thought that was really profound. So I crochet, and I crocheted without media around, switched on. And no music, nothing. I just crocheted in silence to create room for introspection and self-discovery and thinking about what was relevant to me and what would enable me to thrive. I didn't want to begin with challenging the rest of the world. I didn't want to take on the woes of the world. I didn't want to turn my house and my life upside down. Okay, I just wanted to crochet long lines of stitches, 54 stitches in a row, size 6 needle, chunky wool, 54 stitches, then turn, another 54 stitches and turn. Just simplicity. Since beginning this, I've been completely off media. I've been getting to bed earlier. I've been sleeping better. I'm calmer during the day too, and my energy levels have evened right out. My eating's improved. Interesting, isn't it? And those are just the things that immediately have become apparent. Gifting myself the mind space to work out how to simplify life clutter is a part of this evening routine now. I've thought about no end of things that create life clutter for me, but I've not immersed myself at all in doing anything about them. It's like I'm watching them, observing them. I know that I need to simplify my life clutter. There's no mistake about that, but I've chosen it will happen all in good time. I don't need to tackle my life clutter with more life clutter. I need to have a clear idea of what simplicity and resilience looks like on the other side of whatever it is that I'm decluttering. I decided that if I can travel around Asia for a month with only a suitcase of what I thought were the essential items I could possibly need, and that all of those items collectively fitted in the suitcase and weighed less than 23 kilos in total, then I can survive with much less overall in my home. That was one of my first thoughts. Part of simplicity is becoming much more mindful of how much or how little you truly need in order to thrive well. That can also equate, I suppose, to relationships or possessions, habits, commitments, anything. Simplification means more of the right things and fewer of the things that don't enrich your life in some way. I suppose simplicity could relate to establishing healthy boundaries too, then, if I was going to put my therapist's hat on. So here's an example of some crochet thinking. I've got in my kitchen cupboard, I've got a cupboard full of glass jars. Most of them have lids. I seem to have amassed quite a collection of them this year, and my husband might say I hoard them. I think he's probably fair in that. I felt I needed to make a decision about those jars. They're taking up an awful lot of space. And as I crocheted, I asked myself, do simplification and enrichment lead to greater resilience in my life in relation to those jars? How could those jars offer a way to simplify my life? Are they in alignment with my values? What kind of enrichment do they really offer? Or are they just complicating my life, undermining that resilience, giving me a reason to reflect on something I promised myself I'd do and haven't done? I intend to store and preserve a lot of food that I grow next year. And I need glass jars if I'm going to achieve that. Decision made. I will hold on to the jars of the most usable shape and sizes, the ones with lids that fit, and I'm working out to the best of my ability even how many of those jars I will need, and then the rest I will let go of immediately. It makes sense. More crochet thinking. I am ashamed to say I have had a heap of purchase receipts that I've stuffed in a bag that I needed to go through. I'm not going to tell you how many months have gone by, but they have accumulated and it's like they're breeding in this bag. You accumulate, I think, lots of paper receipts anyway nowadays. But I also have a business, and so I have all sorts of receipts relevant to that as well. So it's almost like I've got double. So those receipts in that bag have been eyeing me up for quite a while now, longer than I'd like to admit. And it actually started stressing me out. I realised it as soon as I went into my office at home after I'd got back from Vietnam. I saw the bag, that evil bag of receipts. And my mind was saying, you should be sorting those receipts out. Why are you sitting in the evenings crocheting? Processing the receipts would always be you know, high on your priority list? And I went, no, it's not. It's actually really last on my list of what I want to do with my spare time. But that voice, we all have it. Don't be sitting and thinking about simplicity. Process these receipts. And the more I decided about shaming myself, I suppose, for not processing those receipts, the more I was put off by processing the receipts. It was like there was a pre-stress going on. Drudgery. The drudgery of flattening out crumply paper and then picking over the information, reading it in all shapes and sizes, and then feeling the guilt about any unnecessary purchases I'd made, you know, and then entering all of the important information into a single spreadsheet and then going through the spreadsheet, working out what was what. It would take hours to process these hundreds of receipts. Oh, why had I left it so late? Why did I let the receipts build up like this? And it would be so boring and annoying. And I'd, even though I have to do it, I'm not going to feel great about doing it. And I'd probably just feel the relief of it when it's gone. But as soon as it's gone, I'll just have more receipts to process. I mean, you can get exactly the space I was in. You know, I'd rather be doing something, anything else. So that bag has been sitting there a while. So as I crocheted and I thought about the receipt bag, I wondered what a magic panacea would look like for this overwhelming mountain of receipt chaos. And then as I crocheted, my mind got to freestyle, and I got it. If I could just scan the receipts in, and if there was some AI that would read the receipt information reliably, and if there was software that could put that AI information into a simple single spreadsheet for me, then all I needed to do really was to feed the receipts into a reader and then read the spreadsheet out the output at the end. That would feel really achievable. I could do the receipts then. It might even feel like fun. So that's what I looked into, and that's what I did. I simplified it. And as the receipt information was scanned and assessed and entered into the spreadsheet, all the stress I'd been carrying disappeared, just vanished. And I realised that it wasn't the stress of processing the receipts really, it was actually the pre-task stress, when you worry and stress about something that you know you need to do and you haven't done. It wasn't the actual doing of it, and certainly it wasn't the doing of it in the way that I'd managed to create for myself. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is in the last week, over 300 receipts have been quickly, efficiently and reliably scanned and processed. Thank you, Epson, and thank you, Clever AI. And I now have a brilliant spreadsheet. It's simple and easy, and I can find any receipt information in seconds. And that's how simplicity brings resilience. But you say, well, How does simplicity bring resilience then? Well, in this case, it's a kind of financial resilience, and I didn't realise this is what was going to happen. Those of you who are very good with your finances, who are really clear and always have been about how money works, you'll really get that. But for me, I'm much more creative, so I find sitting down with numbers and looking at spreadsheets and everything, I actually find it quite difficult, even though I have to do it. But looking at this spreadsheet suddenly meant that I could see exactly where I've spent my pennies. That's resilience. I can make choices about what I need to allocate out of my budgets for necessities based on this. And what spending habits do I need to change? You know, how many costas have I bought? How many times have I eaten out in a month that I don't really eat out? You know, where am I shopping? What am I buying? That means that there are habits that I can develop, habits that I can improve in the future, and that will also create better financial resilience. I'll get better value for any money that I'm spending. So though I sought simplicity in achieving this task, I ended up with so much more. Simplicity led to a massive measure of financial resilience. So I'm moving through my daily life steadily, bit by bit, and as I see opportunities for simplicity, I sit softly and I crochet and I consider the way simplification could benefit me, help me to feel more and not less whole. And whenever I thought about that pile of unprocessed receipts, the last thing I felt was whole. And now I think about those receipts in that ever declining bag full of receipts, that reducing numbers that need to be processed and stored because they're all digital now after all. I get happy and fizzly feelings inside. I smile a wry smile too. A happy smile, a genuine one. Financial simplicity is about knowing where you stand with your finances most of the time. How much money do you have regularly arriving? How much is regularly departing? What's a necessary purchase? What's not? What amount does it make sense to save, if you wish to save, or to invest, if you wish to invest, or that you need to spend right now? Processing the receipts was a real block to a part of financial simplicity and resilience for me. I've discovered that recently, and I'm sharing that with you in order, I think, really to inspire you. Where are the blocks? Look to your blocks. You don't have to do anything about them. Is there a wardrobe you feel you need to sort out? Maybe there's a bit of the garage that needs to be done. Whatever it is, it's not just about getting rid of furniture or possessions you no longer need. I mean, it's anything. Where's your life clutter? What's blocking you? And in taking a step towards the simplicity with that, I wonder what resilience it will then reveal. Anyway, I've also decided, I'm still talking about the receipts, after looking through those receipts, that if I'm going to be a consumer, I'm going to be a simpler one. I shall buy only what I need to help me thrive. And if it's not a simple consumer purchase, then I need to think it through. I need to wait a little. So, for example, what do I mean? Well, there are things that I regularly think I would like to read or to purchase, or bits of equipment I'd like for the house. So if I go, for example, online to Amazon and I put an item that I believe I would like in my basket, what I do is I don't check out, I wait. So that item sits in my basket, and I often get emails saying, "You've got an item in your basket." And I go, "Yes, I know. I'm waiting to see if I really, really desperately feel the need of the item that I've put in that basket." And I wait at least a week. If at the end of the week I still feel the same, I will buy it if I can afford it, if it's in my budget. But if at the end of the week I'm not so sure anymore, then actually I put it in my wish list and I clear the basket and move on. And of all the things I've put in the basket since I got back from Vietnam, and that's probably about 2-3 weeks now, there's only really one thing, as far as I can remember, that I've actually gone back a week later and said, "Actually, do you know what? I still really need that." So I think I've saved myself tens of pounds, probably more really, of unnecessary consumer purchases. I wonder how many of those I've done over the years. I'm not going to give myself a hard time over it, of course. This isn't about giving yourself a hard time. But it's just reflection, isn't it? It's not judgment. We're just reflecting. So understanding the basics of budgeting, managing debt, investing, it's really empowering, all of it. And I've started to enjoy it much more now that the receipts feel more like fun. Receipts have always been my Achilles heel. So interesting how those receipts were a real block. And when I'm informed, I can then make more informed decisions. And if I know my financial landscape more clearly, I'm better equipped to weather economic uncertainties that might come up. If I treat my financial landscape in the same way as I treat my garden, then who knows what I might be able to grow from it. So through a simple change, I've created a much better foundation for my financial security for myself, only by simplifying something that was clearly blocking me. And that release sent the right kind of empowering ripples right the way through a sector of my life that I didn't think was out of control. Well, it probably wasn't out of control. It was just lagging behind a bit. But it certainly had room for improvement. Simplicity leads to resilience.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
My name's Amanda Nelson. This is the Future Self Energetics show on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking about simplicity. Simplicity is about being honest about how you're living your life today and what your needs are in the present time. Keep it present. Don't think, oh, I needed this 3 years ago, or I'm going to need this 3 years in the future. It's about the present time. It's about today. And it's taken me a while to work that out. And I know I could have watched all sorts of gurus online that would have told me what I've learned in seconds. But sometimes I need to work it out for myself to really get it. So simplicity is about being honest about how I'm living my life today and what my needs are in this present time. And simplicity, I feel, is going to result in a really gradual reduction of all those things that stress me out, and it's going to enable me to focus my attention on the things that aren't going to stress me instead. And you're going to be able to release attachment to things that don't help you to thrive. And in so doing, you'll become more whole. And you'll find a sanctuary. Simple things will help you thrive. So what are they? Things like nourishing food that your body can make sense of and make use of. Go to bed early. Try it out. Go for walks regularly. Just sit in a park for no reason. You know, sit there and just let your mind get bored. Don't take your phone. Don't listen to music. Nothing. Just stick your hands in your pockets, sit on a park bench and let yourself become bored. And then see what creative genius comes from your mind. Through doing this, I've started to increase my physical fitness, my mental clarity. I've got greater emotional balance. Energetically, I am robust. And I can feel the effects of not having all this inner stuff and this outer stuff, this life clutter, all that clutter. I don't need to take care of it all and manage and think about it. I need to release and let go anything that isn't appropriate for me today. My energy field absorbs less low vibrational energy now. My energy field feels cleaner all the time. It's higher vibrationally overall. It's so easy to keep clean. Simplicity provides sanctuary. So in times of stress, simplicity serves as your refuge. I think that's the key here. And if there's nothing else you take from my show today, just take that. Simplicity provides a sanctuary. And that sanctuary then creates a refuge for you. Resilience also means that you have the capacity to navigate, to process your emotions, process life events. In a complex and fast-paced world, it's easy to become overwhelmed by a constant influx of all sorts of stimuli. You know, we're back to simplicity again here too. Simplicity offers a reprieve from that. It's an opportunity to declutter not just your physical spaces, but your mental and emotional and spiritual and psychic and energetic landscapes as well. You know, declutter that life clutter. In the part of the world where I grew up, which is in the UK, there's a glorification of busyness. People are so often busy being busy that they're just being busy. They're filling their time with being busy and appearing to be busy. Now, simplicity offers a counterbalance. It's an invitation. I'm extending an invitation to you today to really savour the richness of each uncomplicated moment. Appreciate the present, those uncomplicated moments. Cultivate a resilient mindset that allows you to navigate any of life's ebbs and flows with much greater ease. That ease is going to equate to resilience, believe me. And resilience is not actually about being prepared for every eventuality. I've seen people online who are preppers and they would say, oh, to be resilient, you have to have all your bases covered. Do you know, resilience for me, and this is only what I think, resilience is about being able to adapt quickly, respond calmly, meet whatever the challenge is easily, to be able to do that in whatever situation you find yourself in. Resilience is not having more. Resilience is actually understanding, being centered, being stable and secure, being, you know, leading from a place of conscious refuge. So resilience equips you with the tools that you need to cope with stress and anxiety and the unexpected twists and turns that life's going to present you with. You can't be prepared for everything, but what you can be is resilient, because it leads to a kind of adaptability and the ability to navigate or bounce back from pretty much any challenge you might face. Here then is some advice. First, I'd like you to identify your core needs and your core values. Once you have those, you are going to be aligning with those. When you have values that align with the best version of you, you can use those values to help you navigate your choices. Use it as a compass. So if your core need is food and your core value is to grow nourishing food and to share it with your family, fresh or preserved, then it makes absolute sense for you to be collecting jars. And if all the seed packets that I've collected that I store in my drawers, is that in alignment with my values? Well, yes, it is, because I want to be able to grow my own food in my garden, and then I want to have that nourishing food to share with my family, fresh or preserved. And so to store jars and to store seeds makes sense. I'm not going to store seeds of anything that my family won't eat, and I'm not going to store jars that aren't going to be useful for storing and preserving. It's a bit like, if I don't eat cakes and I don't cook cakes, why would I have cake tins in my kitchen? Pass them to someone that loves to make and share cakes, and use the space that you create in your kitchen to store gorgeous, healthy, preserved food instead. The process of decluttering always comes up when you discuss simplicity, so I think I should just mention that too. Decluttering is only about adopting a kind of systematic approach to managing your belongings. That's it. Think of it as curating a collection, and only begin with one area of a drawer or a cupboard, a part of a room if you want, and ask yourself if everything that you are currently looking at, that you're asking yourself to make a choice about, supports your values about the best version of you in your life. Does it make you happy in this moment? Would you beam and smile? And if the answer is no, then it's probably going to be time soon to release the space to something that actually is a yes. Before buying anything new, consider its necessity, its longevity, its impact on the environment, and how it aligns to your present values. Everything that is meaningful to you. Think of all these things as the enrichment value of that item. Simply by becoming a responsible consumer, you can become resilient, and you enable everyone else to become resilient as well. Countless individuals, including me, in embracing a simpler lifestyle, a simpler mindset, have found security and resilience in unexpected ways. I wonder how you might benefit from trying this out. Send me an email, let me know, Amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. That's it for another show. I'm so glad you joined me here for the Future Self Energetics show on UK Health Radio this week. I present the Future Self Energetics show every week on UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you again soon. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy fields, you can only up-level. Focus then on improving the quality of your energy field all the time, whenever you can, because it does have the potential to positively change everything.